UTC right after the international.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The field is now set for the quarterfinals of the European Football Championship after victories Tuesday by England and Ukraine at Wembley Stadium in London. England eliminated Germany 2-0 on second half goals by Raheem Sterling and Harry Kane. And at Hampden Park in Glasgow, Scotland, Ukraine ousted Sweden 2-1 in extra time on a late goal by Artem Dovbyk. Ukraine and England will now travel to Rome for a quarterfinal encounter on July 3rd. Now, England has had a frustrating history against Germany in the knockout rounds of major competitions, so British fans were jubilant as they exited Wembley Stadium.
And I'm very, very, very excited. 2-0. This is the most amazing game I've ever been to. Fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic, weren't it? Absolutely fantastic. We're going to win it. We're going to win it.
And that fantastic fan support was recognized by England manager Gareth Southgate at his post-match news conference.
The fans in the stadium who were also incredible. I mean, I've been here with a full house and not heard it anywhere near the levels that the crowd found today. But they were behind every challenge, they were behind every time we pressed the ball, they were behind every run we had, and the energy was incredible in the stadium. So to be able to send them home feeling as they do tonight, to hear them at the end, I mean, you can't beat a bit of Sweet Caroline, can you? That's a belter, really. Yeah, and to know that so many millions of people after such a difficult year at home can have that enjoyment that I know we'd have given them today is very special.
England manager Gareth Southgate says the historical significance of beating Germany is also very special.
Today, of course, is a big result. You know, England have never managed to beat Germany in a knockout game since the final here. And I think we haven't put together in a tournament a semi-final followed by a quarter-final since 1966 either. So, you know, these players keep writing history and they've got the chance again. You know, we've only ever been to one European Championship semi-final. So, again, they've got the chance to do something really special, and we've got to make sure we give ourselves the very best chance of doing that.
Meanwhile, England defender Harry Maguire had this to say about the victory over the Germans.
It means everything to beat them. We know that they're a good team, they're with excellent players and a great style of play. We changed our formation to counteract theirs, and we wanted to be aggressive all over the pitch. We wanted to be brave on the ball, take the ball, and we also wanted to be brave off the ball, which was trying as much as we can to play 1v1 and be aggressive in terms of pressure on the ball and not give them too much space out wide, which they've punished teams in the group stages of the tournament.
Harry Maguire is part of an English defense that has yet to concede a goal in four matches at the European Championship. Once again, it's England versus Ukraine in a quarterfinal on Saturday, July 3rd in Rome. In the other quarterfinals, Switzerland will play Spain on Friday, July 2nd in St. Petersburg, Russia. Also Friday, Belgium will take on Italy in Munich, Germany. And on Saturday, the Czech Republic will play Denmark in Baku, Azerbaijan.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. Sunday Olise was a member of the Nigerian team that won the gold medal at the 1996 Olympics here in the United States. As we look forward to the kickoff of the Olympic men's and women's football tournaments next month in Japan, let's also look back 29 years to the Barcelona Games in Spain. Ghana won the bronze medal in men's football, becoming the first African team to get on the Olympic podium in the sport. Mohamed Gago was a defender on that Ghanaian Olympic team, and he's now a coach. In this Encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yawafusu Larbi reports from Tamale, Ghana. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. It is a sunny Thursday morning in Tamale, and players of Steadfast Football Club are going through their morning workout session, jogging, kicking, and doing a lot more drills. Overlooking them is their coach, former Black Star, Mohamed Gago.
Come back, come back, come back. We are coming and going again. We are coming and going, so let's get used to that.
Gago was the ultimate youth football star. In 1991, he was a member of the Black Starlet side that won the Under-17 World Cup and made headlines the world over. His stellar work out there gave him a chance to feature in the Metiers team that played at the Olympics the following year. The Barcelona Games was a huge success for Ghana. It delivered the country's and Africa's first medal in football. All of this in addition to the 20 times he played for the Black Stars. But as he sat down to take stock of how incredible his playing career was for Ghana...
It was good. I mean, we've had a fantastic outbreak as far as football is concerned. We're able to be successful in 91, and then I would say 92, Barcelona, the Olympics... as well, because we came home with the first African medal. A lot of good memories. I mean, the 1991 squads, we used to have a lot of, an abundance of talents, in the likes of Alex Opoku, Dan Addo, Emmanuel Dia, Osei Okafor, Odate Lante, Yaprekou, and others. I mean, it's a different generation all together. I mean, I will classify my time as the best national under-17 ever that Ghana has ever brought up.
Gago's career shot up quickly. Spotted with a plaster right above his nose, he was one of the first Ghanaians to play in the Italian league and landed in Torino in 1992. He went on to play 119 times for Udinese, where he oversaw the growth of former Black Stars captain Steven Appiah. Gago's growth and status in the Italian league demystified perceptions about African players. For him, he influenced the influx of African players in the league.
Comparatively, you know, the Italian league, a lot of Ghanaians seem to thrive in the Italian league. What is the reason behind that?
I would say I was the reason, because I was one of the first players actually from the West African or South Saharan Africa to establish fully or to start a football career in Italy. I mean, we had to go a lot during that time. We have to deal with racism, and we have to do with the fact that we were young, inexperienced, and we were brought into a very big league like the Serie A. The world couldn't understand. Even the Italians couldn't understand. It makes me happy, especially with Steven Appiah, who has never forgotten how he got himself into Serie A. Because I played my part as a senior brother and as someone who was there to make sure that he never came back to Africa.
Being a pace setter meant he became financially sufficient at an early stage in his life. He could afford the best houses and drove fast cars, a lifestyle many of his colleagues could only dream of. He lived a very fast life, and that has his limitations and regrets. Gago says he regrets being naughty.
It's been too much naughty and not paying so much attention and thinking they have so much time.
You know, in football, you have your prime times that takes you up to about from 10 to 15 years. That's what I don't want these guys to waste, you know. Sometimes they think they are young and they have time. Meanwhile, this is the right time. Now that football has become so much a lucrative a business, so the earlier you get into the top level, the better it is for you.
Naughty or not, there's one thing we cannot take away from Gago. He was an incredibly good footballer, and the players he coaches these days will only hope they can get that far. From Tamale, in the northern region of Ghana, Yao Fosilabi for the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the latest top stories of the week, including COVID-19, climate change, and food security, top the agenda as foreign ministers from the G20 group of nations met in Italy in person for the first time since 2019. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ran the best quarter mile in the world, 1998. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Falilat. Two Nigerian women will compete in jump events at the upcoming Tokyo Olympics. To evaluate their chances, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Nigerian athletics coach Oluyomi Sule.
Two athletes qualified for the horizontal jumps, namely Issa Brume and Ruth Usoro. Okay, Issa Brume, of course, we know is a very, very experienced athlete. She was in the finals at the last Olympics in Brazil. She actually came fifth in the finals. So she has experience. She has what it takes. She knows exactly what it takes to get to the podium. Having won silver medal at the last world championships, you know, we will just pray she will be in a very good condition, and then, you know, there will be no stopping her. We expect her to be on the podium. On the other hand, the young girl on the block, Ruth Osoro, our own dear Ruth Osoro, she had a very, very long season. But we know and we are hoping the experience she gained from the school games will help her a lot in executing her game plan at the Olympics.
What's your assessment of the opposition in Tokyo for the Nigerian athletes?
Okay, opposition in Tokyo for the athletes is a thing we need to talk about, because seriously speaking, the game is going to be so high at Tokyo. I haven't stayed back for such a long time of not competing at the very world level. I think people have upped their game and they're really looking forward to having a fantastic performance. If you check out national trials, you will realize that a whole lot of people have been putting up fantastic performances. And so if we don't want to mindsword, we should be wary of the fact that the opposition will be really, really very, very tough comes Tokyo 2021.
Beyond the Tokyo Games, do you think Nigeria has great potentials in the jump events?
We've always said the Nigerians is a jumps nation. People think we are sprinters, and you know, people like us have the opinion about us being you know, a jump nation. If you remember, you realize our first gold medal comes from the jumps. And we've always done very, very well. I mean, extraordinarily well in all the jumps. As a matter of fact, we ruled Commonwealth nations, we ruled the continent of Africa in jumps before going into sprints. So potentially, you know, the talents are everywhere in this country. And in no time, if we're able to harness what we get, what we have, I think we can produce fantastic jumpers, you know, fantastic horizontal jumpers in Nigeria. And they are really, really, you know, up and doing. I mean, coaches in Nigeria are doing their best to make sure that things is working well with all the jumpers. Look around, you see young boys, young girls coming up and doing fantastically, even at the local scene, you know, not forgetting the international scene as well. NCAA, we have two or three of them competing. The NAIA, we have a whole lot of them competing. So the future is very bright when it comes to horizontal jumps.
That's Nigerian athletics coach Oluyomi Sule. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
This is Oluyomi Oladimeji Sule, a horizontal jumps coach. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the tennis beat, American star Serena Williams is out of Wimbledon after suffering a right leg injury in her opening match. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Serena Williams' quest for a record-equalling 24th Grand Slam singles title has been thwarted yet again, this time after a nasty fall during her opening round match at Wimbledon. The 39-year-old seven-time champion slipped and fell while hitting a forehand in the fifth game of the first set of a match against the 27-year-old Alexandra Sasnovich, a Belarusian ranked 100 in the world.
It's very sad for me, honestly, like when your opponent feel bad. You know, she's a great champion, and it's a sad story.
Despite treatment for the injury, Williams was unable to continue, came to the net to concede the match, and made a tearful exit from the championships. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. In a statement, Serena Williams said, and I quote, "I was heartbroken to have to withdraw today after injuring my right leg. My love and gratitude are with the fans and the team who make being on center court so meaningful," end quote. Well, you might say Wimbledon's center court has been problematic for some of the players during the opening week of the tournament. Serena suffered her injury at the same end of the court where French player Adrian Mannarino had fallen less than 1 hour earlier. He suffered a knee injury that also ended his Wimbledon campaign. Mannarino had taken a 2-1 lead over 8-time Wimbledon champion Roger Federer when he lost his footing and fell on his back. Mannarino's retirement sent Federer into the second round. The All England Club, the host of Wimbledon, also issued a statement acknowledging the conditions might be slippier than usual. The club said, and I quote, "The weather conditions on the opening 2 days have been the wettest we have experienced in almost a decade, which has required the roof to be closed on center court and number one court for long periods. It has resulted in additional moisture on what is a natural surface," end quote. Meanwhile, the exit of Serena Williams further weakens a Wimbledon's women's field that already was missing defending champion Simona Halep and Japanese star Naomi Osaka. Halep has a leg injury, and she announced her withdrawal before Wimbledon. And Osaka also announced that she wouldn't be playing, taking some time off for emotional well-being.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In National Basketball Association playoff action Tuesday night, the Atlanta Hawks even the Eastern Conference Finals at two games each with a victory over the visiting Milwaukee Bucks. The AP's Gary McKillops reports from Atlanta, Georgia.
The Atlanta Hawks took a 10-point lead early and never looked back as they defeated the Milwaukee Bucks 110-88 and even the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals series at 2-apiece. The Hawks were without star guard Trae Young, and the Bucks lost leading scorer Giannis Antetokounmpo in the third period to a knee injury. Meanwhile, Lou Williams with 21 and Bogdan Bogdanovic with 20 stepped up to lead the Hawks. Williams took over for Young and said he was ready to go.
It's not a big adjustment. You just know your minutes is going to go up. The time of the games is going to be different. Other than that, you know, you just get ready to play a basketball game.
Jrue Holiday led the Bucks with 19. The series resumes Thursday in Milwaukee. Gary McKillops, Atlanta.
Thanks, Gary. The health of Giannis Antetokounmpo now becomes a big question mark for the Bucks as they get ready to host Game 5 on Thursday night in Milwaukee. The two-time league most valuable player, Antetokounmpo, was helped to the locker room Tuesday night by his older brother and teammate, Thanasis. As Giannis walked off the court, he stopped several times in apparent pain and at one point put a towel over his head. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the highest profile player remaining in the NBA playoffs. He's been averaging 29 points and 13 rebounds a game during the playoffs. Meanwhile, the NBA's Western Conference Finals resume later Wednesday night in Los Angeles, California. That's where the Los Angeles Clippers will host the Phoenix Suns in Game 6 of their series. The Suns lead the Clippers 3-2, so it's must win for the LA Clippers.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Egyptian club Zamalek won the inaugural title last month at the Basketball Africa League tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, let's listen in again to the trophy presentation from BAL President Amadou Gallo Fall.
Here we are at the end of a historic and memorable Basketball Africa League inaugural season. We would want to thank our host, the country of Rwanda, His Excellency Paul Kagame, for a wonderful hospitality. It is my honor to present the championship trophy and the Hakeem Olajuwon Most Valuable Player Awards. Union Sportive de Monastir made their fans and country proud. But today, Zamalek is taking the trophy to Cairo. Congratulations. The 2021 Basketball Africa League champions. And now, to present the 2021 Hakeem Olajuwon BAL Most Valuable Player. He averaged 15 points per game, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. He had a dominant performance throughout these finals. From Zamalek, our MVP, our historic first MVP of the BAL, Walter Hodge.
For me, my teammates, you know, did everything for us. Everybody showed character for our team. We was down at the beginning, but I think, you know, we did a great job. So I dedicate this trophy for my coach, my trainers, and all my team. For me, it's a lot. You know, I got a lot of work, and my teammates helped me a lot. It means a lot. You know, this is the first time that this league is going to be here, and it's going to be here for a long time. I'm speechless.
That's Walter Hodge of Zamalek, the winner of the Most Valuable Player Award at the Basketball Africa League tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. The MVP award is named in honor of Nigerian great Akeem Olajuwon. The new league for top African professional clubs also announced the recipients of two other awards. And the prizes also honor pioneering African NBA big men. Egyptian center Anas Osama Mahmoud was named the Dikembe Mutombo BAL Defensive Player of the Year after averaging nearly 7 rebounds and 3 blocks a game. And Makram Ben Romdane of U.S. Monastir received the Manute Bol BAL Sportsmanship Award for exemplifying the ideals of sportsmanship and camaraderie.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The recent U.S. Olympic track and field trials were bookended with world record performances by Ryan Crouser in the men's shot put and Sydney McLaughlin in the women's 400 meters hurdles. VOA's Gwen Uten profiles the two athletes who are on their way to Tokyo. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Olympic trials were held in the U.S. state of Oregon. And on opening day, Oregon native Ryan Crouser had the home crowd on their feet when he threw for 23.37 meters to shatter the world record and book his return to the Olympic stage. The shot put record was set more than 30 years ago by American thrower Randy Barnes. Barnes won Olympic gold in 1996, but was banned for life 2 years later after he failed a drug test for a second time. Back in January, Ryan Crouser told Reuters News he believed it was time for the long-standing record to fall, and it could be broken by a clean athlete.
I think the sport is definitely the cleanest it's ever been. So if we can get in the new age of drug testing and retroactive testing, if we can get the world record to be thrown under the scrutiny that we have on present athletes, I think that'd be a great step forward for track and field.
Shot put athletes hold a heavy weighted ball at their neck, and with a push rather than a throw, they put the ball as far as possible, thus the name shot put. Crouser entered the sport as a very tall, very lanky preteen, and although his frame was best suited for basketball, he was able to shot put farther than anyone else. Now age 28, 6'7" and 310 pounds, Crouser might have changed physically, but his talent remains the same. He shot put farther than anyone else when he won gold and set an Olympic record at the 2016 Rio Games. And in January, Crouser made another prediction that the world record was within reach.
It'll come when it comes. In the past, I've been in shape to throw it and known that I can throw it going into meets. And I feel like that I've tried to force it to happen instead of relaxing and letting that big throw happen. So kind of changed my perspective towards it a little bit, and I'm going out there trying to throw a personal best, compete against myself, and if I do that, I'll have a good chance to win. And if I can continue to throw personal best, we'll get that outdoor world record.
And Crouser got that world record earlier this month. In other record-breaking news, on the final day of Olympic trials, American Sydney McLaughlin broke the world record in the women's 400-meter hurdles to qualify for her second Olympic Games. The 21-year-old ran a time of 51.90 seconds to become the first woman to break the 52-second barrier. McLaughlin is coached by Bob Kersey, husband to a Olympic legend Jackie Joyner-Kersee and also the coach for six-time Olympic gold medalist Allison Felix. McLaughlin credits Bob Kersee, her faith, and trusting the process for her record-breaking performance. We'll be watching to see if Sydney McLaughlin and Ryan Krauser continue to make history at this year's Tokyo Games, set to kick off in less than 30 days on July 23rd. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the June 30th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.